Hi folks and welcome. This is Dan, the National Field Director for the Peace Alliance. There's still a few minutes before the call officially begins, so we have time to hear from a few of the folks that are here early. Welcome, glad to see you're here with us. I'll just call your name and you can let us know where you live, where you are, and maybe something about the weather, if you want to share how the weather is there today. How about Cheryl, want to say hello?
Hi, everybody. This is Cheryl from Gainesville, Florida. And, of course, it's beautiful today, except it's a little bit hot.
A little bit
but
hot.
But I don't mind.
Great to hear you there. I'm sure we'll talk further later.
Okay.
How about you, Deborah?
Hi, this is Deborah. I'm in Atlanta, and it was very warm today, too. And I just got my air conditioning in, so for the season, so I'm glad about that, and that's about it.
Okay, great. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hey, how about Jean?
Oh, hi. I'm from Leesburg, Virginia, and it was a pretty good day, so.
Okay. Glad to hear it. Glad to hear it. We've got one more minute. There's a few other folks we can hear from. Desdra, want to say hello? Tell us where you are.
Sure. Hi, everybody. I am in Olympia, Washington, and we are finally getting some warmth here after a very long, cold, gray, wet winter. So
right.
I'm loving that. Everybody here is loving that.
I bet. Well, welcome. Glad you're with us. And how about Deborah? Want to say hello? Deborah, tell us where you are and maybe how the weather is.
Hi, Dan. I'm in Mechanicsburg, Ohio, and it was kind of cold and not really cold. It was like in the 50s or 60s, so that's really not that cold, but kind of rainy today. But after I got off of work, sun came out. It was really nice and took the dogs for a little walk and actually was even a little warm. I think it got us about 70. So,
wonderful.
Yeah.
Fantastic. All right. Well, so glad that you're here. So I'm going to go ahead and start. We're now at the top of the hour. It's 9 p.m. So I'm going to officially welcome everybody to the Peace Alliance National Monthly Action Call for May. I'm Dan Kahn. I'm the National Field Director for the Peace Alliance. And first, I'd like to go over the agenda for tonight. Next thing up, we're going to hear from our Legislative Director, Jeff Pudlow, with a legislative update. And then we'll have some coaching on a monthly action for May. Now, an action sheet for the May action was sent to all the folks who registered for this call about 45 minutes ago. So it should be in your inbox. And if you have a chance to download that and take a look at it in the next 10 or 15 minutes, just to download it, we'll look at it together. That would be great if you had it available. So after that coaching, we'll have a few announcements. And then we want to hear from you. I know there are folks on this call who have been doing amazing things all around the country, and we really look forward to hearing about them. So then at the top of the hour, we'll say goodbye to folks that wish to leave at the top of the hour, but I'll stay on longer if more folks have questions or have more news to share. Now, before I introduce Jeff, I just want to say a little bit about how special it is that you are here with us tonight, choosing to spend part of your evening with us, along with all the other things you do in the world for peace building. I remember as a volunteer about 10 years ago, that when I would occasionally see a Peace Alliance bumper sticker on a car, I felt somehow safe, somehow supported, like somebody else out there gets it, both that the world is in serious need and also that there are practical, effective ways forward. And coming together like this, to me, is like being in a room full of those bumper stickers, and it really does feel safe and connected, and it feels promising. So I want to thank you for being here and just welcome you all. And now, speaking of promising, it's now my pleasure to introduce someone many of you are familiar with, and I hope more of you will continue to become more familiar with him because he is your man on Capitol Hill, our legislative director, Jeff Pudlow. Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you for that warm introduction. The legislative update. Kind of talk about three things. I'm going to give a brief background on the Youth Promise Act. Some people have been working on that and are fairly familiar with it. There's not a whole lot going on there, but I just want to keep everyone in the loop. I'm going to talk about the Sentencing Reform and Corrections Act in the Senate, the big bipartisan sentencing bill the Senate is working on right now. They just came back with a bunch of changes to it, some larger than others, and some good, some bad. And I'm also going to talk about Genocide and Atrocities Prevention Act, which is what this month's action is going to be on. And there's a development there that's really quite exciting and should look forward to hearing about. So,
Jeff, let me interrupt you for just a second because I forgot to mention, after Jeff shares this, there'll be plenty of opportunity for folks to ask questions and have a little discussion. So as Jeff's talking, if something comes up that you have some question about, make a note of it and you'll have a chance to ask it afterwards. Thanks, Jeff.
Great. Yeah, and I'll try to stay on until after the training, too, in case more questions come up then. Starting with the Youth Promise Act. So the Youth Promise Act is, right now, there's some behind-the-scenes negotiations going on to try and move it as part of a different package, but there's not much moving right now. And a lot of that is just due to the sentencing reform efforts in both the House and the Senate, which have been in the news. So you may or may not have some idea of what's going on. But you know, the House and Senate are both working on bills to try and reduce mandatory minimums and kind of reform the sentencing and the adult system some. And that has drawn a lot of attention on these issues. And so we have been working on that, and because part of it is until those move, it's likely the Youth Promise Act's not going to go at least go easily. It may move as part of something else, but the bill on its own is not going anywhere fast. Until those things are passed, so. And the sentencing reform effort's good on its own. So we're working on that in the hopes that some movement there will also help the Youth Promise Act, will also help some of these other bills we're working on. And there is some real hope there. So the Senate had kind of deadlocked a bit on their version of the bill, the Sentencing Reform and Corrections Act, 2123. So the last couple weeks, they went behind closed doors again to negotiate some changes to it that would make some conservative senators more happy, while Democrats were insisting that the overall bill affect about the same number of people and still have the similar scope. And so they did that. They got rid of one section that. Had shortened some sentencing enhancement for firearms provisions, and they got rid of that, so those enhancements will still exist. However, that's under a bill called those enhancements were part of a bill called the Armed Career Criminal Act, which the Supreme Court has held unconstitutional in substantial portions recently, and just in the last 2 or 3 months, they ruled that their previous ruling on that was retroactive, so it actually applied to everybody who had been convicted under those laws to begin with. So they got rid of a section that doesn't necessarily need to exist anyway, because those people who were convicted might still be able to apply for relief. So it's not perfect, but that's not the end of the world. They also changed the retroactivity section. So you know, this bill on sentencing was designed so that all the changes it made to sentences could be applied to people who had already been convicted. Those people who could, who've been convicted could take this law and they could apply for a reduced sentence, that they would still have to go in front of a judge to get a reduced sentence. And if the judge didn't think it was appropriate, then they wouldn't get it. But if the judge did think it was appropriate, they would get a reduced sentence. That provision has been changed that nobody who's ever committed in their lives a serious violent felony can even apply. That's probably the most serious change they made that in the negative to the bill. But many of those people would not have gotten reduced sentences anyway. So the impact is limited. Even, you know, we obviously, in an ideal world, would not want that because let a judge make a determination of whether it's appropriate. But there are a couple other things. They made a new mandatory minimum that's basically for heroin mixed with fentanyl, which is another opioid that makes heroin more deadly. But it's a very minor one that a judge could basically ignore. It's basically a minimum of one day in prison. So again, not perfect. But there's some great stuff too. So they also changed, there's a provision called the safety valve, which basically, which exempts a lot of low-level offenders from mandatory minimums in the first place. So they expanded that so it applies to more people. So more people will be exempted from mandatory minimums. They also made a change in some report language. So the Department of Justice is required to report on certain elements of how they're implementing the bill. Senator Kirk pushed for a provision asking for the Department of Justice to talk about how they're using this money to combat gangs and put more police on the streets. That got in. But also what got in right alongside that is a provision asking the Department of Justice to investigate into the bill, and I quote, to promote crime reduction programs using evidence-based practices and strategic planning to help reduce crime and criminal recidivism, which is congressional terminology—it's very similar to language around the Youth Promise Act. So they are the change to the bill basically encourages the Department of Justice to take the savings they save from reduced incarceration under this bill and apply it to Youth Promise Act-like structures. It's reporting language that basically encourages DOJ to do something. It doesn't require them to do anything, but that's huge. That is basically telling them to do that they should be doing the stuff that we have been pushing them to do for years, in terms of preventing crime with evidence-based programs. So we got some very nice stuff out of that. Anyway, that's kind of sentencing reform for right now. Contact your senators, keep it moving. More and more of them are signing on every day, so it's very likely that we'll see a vote soon. And then there's not going to be the House, but we'll get to that when we come to it. Switching gears completely, there's the Genocide and Atrocities Prevention Act. And the big news on that is not actually from the Genocide and Atrocities Prevention Act itself, but it's on a bill called the State Department Authorization Bill. So the state, every 2 years, Congress is supposed to pass a bill authorizing the State Department, defining what the State Department does and how it works. They have not done that since 2002. But just 2 weeks ago, the Senate passed a bill to do that, to authorize the State Department. And that bill contains a key part of the Genocide and Atrocities Prevention Act, which is to authorize the Atrocities Prevention Board. In the State Department Authorization Bill that passed the Senate, the authorization only lasts until the end of June in 2017. So it's temporary. but the authorization of the genocide and atrocities prevention act is permanent. But it's a big victory. It passed unanimously. The entire United States Senate is now on record saying they support the Atrocities Prevention Board. And that will be a major, that should be a major element in our asks going forward on the GAP Act, saying, Senator so-and-so, you voted to create the Atrocities Prevention Board. Let's do that. Let's go further. Let's do it better. Pass the GAP Act. So that's a major win, and the Senate did it unanimously. So we're very happy to see that, and we hope that can inspire future action on what should be a very bipartisan issue. Anyway, that's a lot to cover, a lot of stuff thrown at you, so if you've got any questions, feel free to go ahead and ask them.
Thanks so much, Jeff. That was plenty of stuff, as you said, very thorough and lots to dig into. Anybody who has a question for Jeff, you can press 1 on your keypad, and we'll recognize you and see what's on your mind. And there's a lot of territory there, so Jeff gave a brief update of the Youth Promise Act, and then the Sentencing Reform Act, and then about the GAP Act, the Genocide and Atrocities Prevention Act. So go ahead and press 1 on your telephone keypad, and that'll let me know that you wanted to speak. And I see we've got a bunch of hands going up, which is great. Let me call on one. I'll start with Ann Abdu. Go ahead, Ann.
Hi, Dan. I wasn't able to phone in, dial in on time, so I missed the update on the Youth Promise Act. Is this going to be recorded where we can listen to it again?
Yes, as usual, this call will be recorded, and it'll be available on our website on the Deep Advocacy page, and it'll be available within a few days.
Okay, thanks.
Sure. Thank you. So I see another question from Peggy Hanna. Go ahead, Peggy.
Well, hi, everybody. Hey, we've gone through something here in the state of Ohio with an 80% release program, and we have firsthand experience on how it looks so good in the law, and, you know, the legislature passed it, but the department, you know, the prison, I can only remember Department of Youth Services is for juveniles, whatever the corrections at the state level is called, didn't like the legislature telling them what to do. And it's been very difficult getting anybody released on this 80% program. So I'm wondering about with the Sentencing Reform Act, you say it's retroactive and, you know, they can go before a judge. And I'm just wondering, I would think everybody would want to go ahead and apply it, apply for it. How would the courts handle the numbers of people that would be petitioning or whatever you call it to go before a judge? Because there's so many people that are in, and especially minorities, that are in prison for, you know, absurd sentences for very minor, you know, crimes, drugs and what have you. I'm just wondering how, have they looked at how that's going to be implemented? Because I could see that as being a real problem.
I don't know all the details on that. I have heard some discussion or it, but I don't know if anyone has a particular solution. I think it's just going to be the courts will have to deal with the backlog as it comes, and it might take a little time to get through. I know that at least the Obama administration, the Bureau of Prisons, the federal prison agency, is very much on board and very much in favor of this legislation, and they would be dedicated to making it work. However, most of the implementation of this bill, if it does pass, will be under the next administration, whoever that may be. So, and you know, you know, in a Hillary administration, it would probably be a continuation of the Obama policy, and under a Trump administration, who knows? So the Bureau of Prisons will play a role, judiciary will play a role, but I guess the Sentencing Commission will probably have a bit of work to do too. But it'll take an all hands on board kind of effort to try and work through all those petitions to be sure. So.
It's
the right thing to do.
Yeah, that they will work something out so that it becomes real and just doesn't sound good.
Yeah, that definitely could be a very real concern. But you know, the Bureau of Prisons, at least now, is fully on board with trying to make it work, and their assistance is critical. And I'm really kind of disturbed to hear about the situation in Ohio where the corrections agency is working against the legislature.
I'd love to tell you the whole story. I mean, I don't want to take up time here, but it really is very upsetting. And but thanks so much, and I'm so glad that I got to meet you because I know who I'm talking to. We're at the conference.
Thanks for calling in.
Great. How about Deborah Potts? Go ahead, Deborah.
Hi, yes. I just wanted to know, what is the bill number of the bill that passed the Senate unanimously 2 weeks ago that authorizes the Atrocity Prevention Board? What is the number of that bill?
Sorry, I should have mentioned that. That's S-1635, and if you're asking somebody in the House,
Okay, thank you.
And if you're asking somebody in the House to support the same bill, it's still S-1635 since it passed and is now delivered to the House. So that when you're calling your members of the House, same number.
Okay, S-1635, but there's no actual House bill. The Senate bill has gone to the House, but there's no House bill, right? 1635.
Correct.
Okay.
The House has tried to put their own bill together, kind of in fits and starts, and they have not gotten one out. They have not even introduced a final bill. The committee process has been rather screwy. So the Senate bill has been delivered to them, and I suspect that they'll either run with it or they won't.
Okay. See you.
Thanks, Deborah. We've got space for more questions. If you have a question, go ahead and press 1 on your keypad, and we'll be happy to entertain it. And while we're waiting for more hands to go up, Jeff, I wonder if you might sort of give an example for us. Like, if someone were going to talk to their House member and bring in the idea of this recent authorization bill passing, not their member, but they'd be talking to a staff member, could you give us a sense of how somebody might frame that statement if they were just going to say, to let them know about it and let them know about the connection to the GAP Act? Could you sort of talk that out for us one more time? I know you did a good job on it in your main presentation, but maybe just again as people are letting it sink in.
So the basic pitch in the Senate will be, hey, congratulations. Wonderful, you passed the State Department authorization bill, which, among other things, authorized the Atrocity Prevention Board. Thank you for that. It's wonderful. But we need to make the Atrocity Prevention Board permanent, and we need to go further. And here is a bill, the Genocide and Atrocities Prevention Act, that will allow you to do that. Kind of the basic pitch. In the House, the pitch is, so we need you to pass the State Department authorization bill sent over. It authorizes the Atrocities Prevention Board, which is a wonderful thing, but we need you to do more than that. We need you to support the Genocide and Atrocities Prevention Act, which is going to be introduced soon. We want you to get out ahead. We need you to talk to Senator Cardin's office and try and get on this bill from the beginning, or something along those lines.
Great. Okay, thank you. So what I think we'll go ahead and do is move on into coaching on the action. And if Jeff said he's willing to stay around until after this coaching, so if people have questions after we do some role plays, then you can he'll still be here to address that. So again, if you have access to a computer, please take a look at the monthly action call for May. You should have received it from me as an email attachment about an hour ago, or you can get it from our website on the Deep Advocacy page. So what I'm looking for is a volunteer. We actually have two role plays we'd like to do. And the first one is really, really super easy. It's really super simple. I'm going to put all the hands down that are up now so I don't accidentally call on somebody who doesn't want to be called on. Although I assume all of you will be eager to be called on. So the first one is a little real easy. The second one is a little more complicated. It's just going to be about calling your member of Congress. And if you look at the action sheet, this is an unusual action sheet in that we actually included a sample script for your basic phone call to your House member and also an optional script for you to go a little further. So if anybody feels like volunteering and talking through a little role play of making that call to your member of Congress, please press 1 on your keypad and we'll talk it through. I'll be the congressional switchboard person. And you'll just be making a call to Congress and letting them know that you want them to support the Genocide and Atrocities Prevention Act. Do we have any volunteers who are feeling like airing that out? Okay, well, you're lucky that I have a steadfast volunteer in the waiting. Oh, actually, somebody has raised their hands. Thank you. So maybe I'll save my ace in the hole for the second role play. So, Carrie Johnson, welcome. Can you hear me okay? Carrie?
Yes, I'm here. I hear
okay,
you very
great.
Well.
Okay, great. There you are. Where are you calling from, Carrie?
Washington, Seattle.
Oh, Carrie Johnson, that Carrie. Hello. Nice to hear your voice.
Yes, nice to listen. Nice to, thank you.
Good. So do you happen to have the action sheet nearby? It's not necessary. You could do this without it, but do you have the action sheet with you?
So is it your basic phone call?
Your basic phone call, yeah, perfect. So you can just go through those steps with me if you want, starting with the beginning and to see how it feels. And other folks just sort of read along, just a chance to hear that through. But before we do that, actually, would you read from the top the first couple of paragraphs just to kind of reinforce what this action is about?
Earlier this month, the Senate unanimously passed, as part of the State Department reauthorization bill, an authorization of the Atrocities Prevention Board, which is a key part of the GAP Act. While the authorization is only temporary, every U.S. senator is now on record supporting the Atrocities Prevention Board. Tell them and your House members in May to go further by authorizing the APB, permanently authorizing the CCF, and requiring conflict prevention training for all FSOs by supporting the GAP Act.
Thank you. So FSOs are Foreign Service Officers, and the CCF is the Complex Crises Fund. So the second page of this action sheet gives an overview of the four elements of the Act. So folks that want a little review or to bone up on what's in the Act, this gives the four basic elements if you want to get that background. Okay, so how about that phone call? I'd love to start with ring, ring. Would you go ahead and say ring, ring, and I'll answer the phone?
Ring, ring.
Hello, Congressional Switchboard.
Hi, please connect me with Congresswoman, who are we saying here at the office?
Whoever is your member of Congress. So if you're not sure who it is, you can look that up at congress.gov. Or you can just Google who is my representative to find that out. So your congressperson, I'm not sure who that would be, your House member, but you can look that up. For now, I'm trying to remember. Jeff, do you know who one of the Seattle congresspeople? I mean, there are a lot of them in Seattle.
Not off the top of my head.
Put you on the spot. If you don't know it for now, Carrie, just say Congresswoman Smith. That'll do for now. Carrie, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm still with you.
Okay.
And I think it's like McDermott. Does that sound familiar?
Oh, yeah. Joe? It definitely could be McDermott.
Something like
Jim
that.
Jim McDermott.
Okay, so that's what I'm going to say.
Perfect.
Okay. Okay, hi. Please connect me with Congressman McDermott's office.
Okay, just a moment, please. Beep. Congressman McDermott's office, how may I help you?
Hi, my name's Carrie. I'm a constituent, and I'd like to share my opinion about a bill.
Okay, great. What's the bill?
The bill is called the Genocide and Atrocities Prevention Act. The Senate's version is S-2551, and I would like Congressman McDermott to become an initial co-sponsor of the House version.
I see. Let me make a note of that, and I'll be glad to pass that along to Senator McDermott.
Thank you. Please ask the congressman to contact Senator Bill Cardin as well. He's the author of the Senate version about supporting a House version of the GAP Act.
Okay. I will make a note of that. Thanks very much for being in touch. Okay. Great stuff. Thank you, Carrie. So that's sort of the quick and easy version of the phone call. If you want to just make your case, make your request, and be done. For many of you who are spending a little more time month after month building relationships in these offices, you may want to employ the stuff that's a little bit lower. So, Carrie, since you're doing so great, will you go ahead and read the bottom part under optional as well? So this is something that you could do more to maintain these relationships and have more of an open line of communication. Will you do the bottom part as well, Carrie?
Sure. It feels great, Dan. Is there a staffer in the office who deals specifically with foreign affairs?
Yes, that would be Bill Stewart. He's not available right now, but I can put you through to his voicemail.
I was hoping to leave them a message. Speaking with them is better.
Okay.
Sure.
All right, I'll put you through to his voicemail. Beep, you reached the voicemail for Bill Stewart. I'm not available, please leave a message. Beep.
Hi, Bill. Was hoping to speak with you in person. This is Carrie. I'm calling about supporting the House version act of the GAP Act regarding Genocide and Atrocities Prevention Act. My number is 206-495-8311. I'd love to speak with you soon. Thanks.
Fantastic.
Is that appropriate?
Yes, wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Great. So, we always do a little debrief after a role play. So let me just check in with you. What did you like about how you did there? You made various choices. What do you want to remember to do again next time you do this? I know a lot of it was scripted out for you, but you still had some decisions to make. Anything that you're happy with that you want to remember?
The name of the act would be great. And my phone number and name.
Good. Yeah. And the fact that both of those times you told them you were a constituent, that's just puts you in a separate category. As soon as they know you're a constituent, which you made sure they were aware, then that they are representing you. So that's what that's about. Anything that you would want to do differently or add if you when you do the real thing?
Maybe tell a little bit more about myself
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
is that egotistical?
Yeah. Not at all. Not at all. That's a great instinct. Yeah, it's often great to let somebody know just a little marker of sort of something that you do to let them know who you are in the community. And that could be, you know, I'm a mother, or I'm a teacher, or, you know, my brother was in the military, or something that sort of connects you as, you know, more than just a name, and part of why this issue might be relevant to you, perhaps. Or it could just be, you know, part of who you are, what I do. I'm an electrician. I'm a, you know, local whatever. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Okay. Do you have any questions?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, you'll have a chance to ask a little bit later if you have some. Thanks so much for stepping up. So now I have another request. I'll put hands down, and if you raise your hands, then I'll give you a chance to raise it again. For a second role play, this would be if you were to run into somebody, somebody that you know, on the street or in the store, and you get to talking about what you're interested in, and you want to let them know about this action. You want to be willing to say, hey, I'm taking this action. It's something that's important to me. And I can send you this action sheet, and you'll be able to take the action yourself. So is anybody willing to do that role play? Just because I want you to feel really empowered to have this action sheet as something that you can share, that you can turn around and send to anybody else that you feel like they might be interested in it. Or a lot of people are, you know, kind of down and depressed about the state of politics and about the possibilities for peace. And this action sheet really focuses on strengthening tools that are working. So it could be a great gift as an opportunity for somebody to take action about it. So if anybody is willing to do that role play with me of meeting somebody that you know and having a little conversation and potentially end up telling them about this bill and this action and making plans to send them the sheet, go ahead and press 1 on your keypad if you're willing to have that conversation. And there's no right way to do it, just an exploration, like improv. Okay, now I might go to my ace in the hole, unless I see a hand go up. Lori, are you willing to do this with me?
Sure, Dan.
Awesome. So who should I be? You want to give me a name?
Yeah, see, you are going to be Patty. I always like to make you be a gal.
<That's funny. laughs> And where are we going to run into each other?
At the bicycle race that we were just both in.
Okay, terrific. Is it before the race or after the race?
It's after.
Okay.
Okay.
So we're at the restaurant, maybe having snacks after the race, right?
Okay.
right after the race, I don't want to talk about anything except getting rehydrated, right?
You obviously race a lot harder than I do.
Oh, never mind. Okay. That was a good ride,
okay.
Huh?
Yeah, it was. I had a lot of fun. I'm so glad it's over.
Me too. All right. You're always so much fun to exercise with. That was a good time.
Yeah. Well, you know, I wanted to tell you that last week a couple of us went up to our senator's and congressman's office and brought him a pie. And I know we've talked to you about this before, you know, that I'm involved with this group called the Peace Alliance. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah, I remember that. I love it. You're so optimistic and energetic. It's so great that you do this stuff.
Oh, I'm blushing. So we could really use some additional support. When we went there, we brought them a pie. We told them about this Genocide and Atrocities Prevention Act. That's a bill that's in the Senate right now. And I could sense that they would love to hear from more constituents than just us. And I've got some information that I'd love to give you about, but just in a nutshell, this is such a no-brainer piece of legislation. The Genocide and Atrocities Prevention Act would make permanent these actions that are already taking place, already doing great things to basically prevent the next civil war from breaking out in certain areas. It also provides some training for the Foreign Service officers with the State Department. So, I'm wondering if you would be willing to take a look at this. It's kind of all even scripted out for you, too. But if you'd be willing to take a look at some information if I dropped by and then give our senator a call.
Wow. Gosh, you know, you're involved in it, so I know it's something good. Is it something that I can do without really knowing very much? I mean, I don't really know about the stuff that you're involved in. You said it's scripted out? What do I have to know?
Well, yeah, and I've got a one-pager document that really lines out exactly what this bill would do, and it's really a fairly brief piece of legislation, and like I said, it's already in place. This would just make it permanent. Oh, and even better, just this first part of the month, the Senate approved unanimously the part of this bill, so it's really just going that one step further and really making this a reality. So I think if you read through this one-page document that I have, you'll feel comfortable standing behind this and giving me a call. But, you know, by all means, if you have any questions, I'm willing to answer them for you before you, you know, I don't expect you to just blindly follow me calling these people. But I know that you and I are like-minded and that this probably is something that you would believe in too.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, Laura, you're going to make me study. All right. So send it to me, and I'll look at it. I'll try to figure it out, and I'll probably have questions. And I'm just going to take your word for it that this can do some good. You know, I'm glad some people are optimistic, and you know, I don't always think that there's a lot we can do, but you seem to have a have a sense this is going to help. So I'll at least take a look at it. You know, lucky you caught me when I was exhausted from that bike ride. I'm not sharp enough to say no.
Well, I'll give you a call afterwards and just see if you're willing to do it or not, and then we can talk about it. I know I always feel super good after I do that. I feel like, oh, my gosh, I'm being a part of democracy. I think
All
you're
right.
going to love it.
All right. I'll take a look. Send it to me.
Okay. Thanks, Patty.
Thank you, Lori. Here, drink up. All right. Super cool. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. So, debrief time. Lori, what do you think? What did you do there that you're happy with?
Well, I think that I was pretty enthusiastic. I think I caught her at a weak moment.
Cool. Anything else?
Well, I think just, you know, saying that there was a group of us that actually went and visited in person probably made a bit of an impression, I'm imagining. And usually when you tell people that, like, whoa, you went and saw our legislators?
Yeah, sounds good. About anything that you might do differently if you were doing it again, anything that you know might make little shifts?
You know, just judging from what you said as her, like, oh, I'm expecting him to do this homework and read something. Oh, you know, like maybe, I don't know, maybe offer to sit down with him at a later time and go over it so they felt really comfortable with it, that I wasn't just telling him to support something just because I support it. I don't know.
I wasn't trying to imply by that statement. I wasn't trying to imply that you should do anything differently by my saying, oh, you're making me do homework. I was just feeling my way into Patty's character. that was just me finding the role. And again, there's no absolutely right way to do any of this. I think, you know, you make good points. That you were enthusiastic and you let her know what you were doing, you know, the fact that, and also that how you feel when you do it, that when you take this step, when you speak up, it helps you to feel really like you're accomplishing something and effective. So, I mean, that's the greatest promotion, is the effect it has on you and how you feel about it. So that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, you'll have various people in your life, you know, all of you folks on the call. There are some people that might be curious and ask a lot of questions, and some that won't ask so many questions. And, you know, often it'll be helpful just to say a little bit and see if somebody has interest or questions and sort of lead them along with an opportunity. But every conversation is going to be different. You know, you've got to feel it out and check in with yourself and just, you know, be in integrity and make it something that you want to do or find a different way. So any thoughts or questions, Lori, in retrospect?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much. So
you're welcome.
Yeah. Other folks, now that you've sort of thought through what this action might be, calling your house members, maybe connecting with friends about doing it, any other questions for Jeff, while Jeff's still here, for Jeff or me or Lori, about this action or about the GAP Act or anything else along these lines? Go ahead and press 1 if you have a question. Okay, well, if anything comes up, you've got easy access to our emails. Jeff is jeff@peacealliance.org. Dan is dan@peacealliance.org. Lori is Lori, L-O-R-I, @peacealliance.org. Jeff will probably be leaving us pretty soon, so thanks again, Jeff, for being with us, and we'll see you soon.
All right. I'll see you on the next call. Okay.
Great.
And I'm even now.
What was that? Okay, that was probably a farewell. So next, announcements. I have three announcements that are all related to restorative justice practices. And I think most of the folks on the call are probably familiar with restorative justice practices. If you're not, there are plenty of resources on our website at peacealliance.org about restorative justice practices. They're ways of addressing usually harm or conflict, but they can be used in lots of different circumstances to help us understand each other and to heal situations and to prevent harms and conflicts from happening the same way in the future. So here are my three announcements. One, after a few months of work, mostly on behalf of our great interns here in the office, this past month we launched a new section of our Student Peace Alliance website, and it's a restorative justice resources section on that website. So if you're involved in a school, whether it's K-12 or university level, as a parent or as a student or as a teacher or administrator, there are resources on the Student Peace Alliance website to aid you in bringing restorative justice practices more into your schools, into your school communities. So thanks to the interns who helped that to happen, Ashley, Grayson, and Penelope. And we're very proud of the product that they helped us to create. So feel free to check that out at studentpeacealliance.org. Second thing, Kim Schwarzkopf, who is a Peace Alliance volunteer field leader in Seattle, right now, this evening, is giving a presentation to the PTSA, the Parent Teacher Student Association of a local high school, about the value of using restorative justice practices as part of school disciplinary procedures and in other ways. So let's all hold Kim and the school and the community in our thoughts for a moment and wish them well in this exciting, great, forward-moving process. And third, my next announcement is a little longer. It's also about restorative justice practices. As many of you know, the Peace Alliance has been privileged to cooperate in promoting statewide restorative justice initiatives, some statewide bills. One passed in Colorado, and one is currently in the legislature in Massachusetts, and there's another one that has not yet reached the final bill version. It's been getting created as a bill. It's not yet in the legislature, but it's gained significant social momentum in Florida. And I was talking yesterday with Kelly McGrath, who is the director of the Florida RJ Alliance, or FRJA, if you like to say it that way, FRJA. And hearing about lots of amazing Florida RJ news, I asked if she would send some of it to me in writing so I could share some of it. So I have 8 exciting Florida RJ news items to share in Kelly's own words. So Kelly says, first, she loves for us to spread the word that RJ is growing in Florida. And the first news item is, The River Phoenix Center for Peacebuilding is hosting a two-day RJ training this week, and 25 people are attending. And you can look at the great offerings of the River Phoenix Center online at centerforpeacebuilding.org. Two, a French documentary film company is currently shooting a documentary about RJ in Florida. They've interviewed Agnès Fury, who forgave her daughter and grandson's killer and corresponds with him. The book Wildflowers in the Median is a collection of their letters. The documentarians will be in Gainesville at that RJ training to film Andy and Kate Grosmeyer. The Grosmeyers requested and were allowed to use an RJ circle in a pre-plea agreement conference to craft an agreement the court later substantially accepted after their daughter was shot and killed by her boyfriend. This is the only murder case in the U.S. where RJ was used as part of sentencing. Third, Florida State University, we might need to take a breath just to take in that number two. That's some heavy, deep stuff. And I think it's significant progress. Thanks. Third, Florida State University, FSU in Tallahassee, just created a working group to explore using RJ for certain campus conflict and crime. They've held two meetings, including one with University of Florida's Associate Dean of Student Affairs, because US has been using RJ on campus for several years. So RJ really is on the rise. Four, the Florida Department of Children and Families, DCF, has created a new position. The DCF employee will work forming collaborations between courts, police, state attorney's offices, Department of Juvenile Justice schools, and group homes to help children in group homes achieve better outcomes, and their duties include training these groups, all of those groups, to use RJ and nonviolent communication with the children. So, powerful progress. Five, the community outreach director at DCF is attending the Preventing Crime in the Black Community conference this month and will be detailing the efforts of DCF to help with disproportionate minority contact and discussing the use of RJ for our children in group homes. Six, Dr. Cindy Bigby will be presenting on RJ and restorative practices at the State School Board Association annual conference in June. Seven, a working group will be forming between members of the School Board Association and FERJA to work on legislation to help schools get RJ support, training, or staff to run RJ programs in schools. So this is a working group to create legislation to promote RJ throughout the school system. And the FRJA for JA is currently planning their first conference for 2018, which will include tracks for educators, court system personnel, community art activists, and lawyers. So those are the items, and we are just so pleased and proud to be in cooperation with these folks. And Kelly is someone who really loves to collaborate, so if anyone is interested in learning more about their progress, or building or joining similar alliances in your own state, or if you have legislative experience and or passion and are interested in working on the bill drafting process with them, Kelly really welcomes connection with you. So you can reach her via K McGrath, that's K-M-C-G-R-A-T-H, at FloridaRestorativeJustice.com. K McGrath at FloridaRestorativeJustice.com. All right. Those are the announcements, and now I'd love to hear folks on the call share what's going on in your neck of the woods. So I want you to, if you can, aim for maybe 1 to 3 minutes each or thereabouts so that we'll have time to hear from plenty of folks. But we really want to know what's happening in any of the cornerstones in cultivating personal peace, in teaching peace in schools, in empowering community peace building, humanizing justice systems, or fostering international peace building, what's been happening in your relationship with Congress or your relationship with media or in your communities. So I see one hand going up. Press 1 on your keypad if you have something to share, and we look forward to hearing from as many of you as we have time for. I'll start with Cher Graham. Go ahead, Cher. Welcome.
Hi. Welcome, everyone. Peace and abundance to all of you. This past week, our Chief of Police gave a presentation on his program where the police department and local churches are working in a program called Second Chance. And you can see everything about it on the mobilepd.com and go to Second Chance. It's usually on their homepage. But it is a program that all of the U.S. attorneys across the country are looking at in order to help reduce our crime rate, reduce recidivism, but more importantly, giving minor, less major offenders a second chance in their community by the community being their life support. So I'm really excited because for the first time there is a program that law enforcement went to the community, and now they are hopefully setting a model up that other communities can look at. On the second part of looking at teaching peace building in the schools, I'm working with several colleagues here. We're going to be working on this summer a program where we can begin to put peace building practices within our school system. We're starting on schools where there is a high incident of crime rate in some of our very exclusive private schools where kids just have no concept of themselves, of peace, of even just taking care of property. So we really want to begin to start where we think there is a need, but work it from both ends, because crime impacts every economic group, not just the lower end of the spectrum. And outside of that, the Kids Initiative and Street Positive out of Los Angeles and Safe Kids Now are working on planning a conference in either 2017 or 2018. I will tell you more about it later. We're just now in the planning stages where we are focusing on the economics of crime prevention, of child abuse, because it does impact our communities from an economic perspective. The University of Alabama had a program April 21st on the same topic, and we are working with several universities, and hopefully we'll have a location within the next 3 months of when our conference will be and where it will be. But we are really looking at how we can strengthen peace building in the Gulf Coast. And I will reach out to Kelly since I'm only 5 hours from her. Thank you.
Fantastic. Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much, Cher. Great stuff. Okay, how about Cheryl Kaplan? Go ahead, Cheryl.
Hi, everybody. I'm teaching, I just got finished teaching a parenting class to a group of parents whose children are in elementary school some of them have been suspended. All these children have gotten into trouble in the schools. And it's called SNAP. Stop Now and Plan. So what we're doing is we have two groups going, the parents and the children are a parallel program, and we're teaching the parents how to help their children stop when they're compulsively doing whatever it is that they're doing that gets them into trouble. We're trying to keep them out of the juvenile justice system. And this summer, and I've been working with the parents, but this summer we're going to be trained to work with girls because we haven't been working with girls and we're seeing a greater need with the girls too. So it started out with the Department of Juvenile Justice, and the grant was given to a local corner drugstore program. And it's very exciting, and the parents are very excited about learning how to deal with their children, and we're seeing great successes. And then besides that, the parents are talking to other parents who have been calling and saying, I want in. So that's really exciting. We have somebody that's been teaching the kids who was a guidance counselor in one of the F schools, and a lot of the kids go to her school, so she can work with them as well at the same time. And that's it.
Wonderful, Cheryl.
It's exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much. Great stuff. You're welcome.
Oh, Dan?
Yeah.
This program is out of Canada. So we have a lot of programs they're teaching. They come and they teach us. They train us. So it's basically trainer of trainers.
Right.
So that we have some people that now are going to be able to train, you know, people who are working with the kids and people who are working with the parents. So it's just an exciting program.
Love it. Wonderful. Thank you. Great stuff. Hey, how about Deborah Walters? Go ahead, Deb.
Hi, Dan. Well, I was very, very impressed when I went to the City Year Columbus Red Jacket Ball and met Ryan Stevenson and heard his speech and was just so impressed with what AmeriCorps is doing with this City Year group of members. It was very inspiring having them explain how they help the kids in that are dropping out, not going to school, and mentoring them and helping them and bringing their grades and going to school from F's to B's and A's and going on to college. It was very, very inspirational and just made me feel really good about what people are doing in the world. And that was just amazing. And then reading his book, I've been reading Just Mercy, his book, and it's heartbreaking, but he's done so much for his cause, which he founded, which was the Equal Justice Initiative. So that was very interesting. Here at home, I got our letter to the editor published on Saturday for the Call to Leaders for Peacebuilding, for the Mother's Day pie and all that. And we have 2 appointments next Monday with our Senator Sherrod Brown and Rob Portman to visit them with pie and materials. And Barb and I from Champaign County Peace Alliance and Peggy and Jim from Clark County Peace Alliance will be going to deliver the pies and talking with our senators. And so I'm very excited about that. And then I have another, my letter will be also will be in the paper, our local Kingsburg paper tomorrow. So good things for May.
Wonderful. That's terrific, Deborah. Thanks. Really great stuff, Deborah in Ohio. And I want to be true to my word. There are just a few more hands up, and I'll stay on. And I think probably most people will stay on for a few more minutes just to hear the last few folks to share. I really want to have a chance to hear them. But I also want to give a chance for folks that need to go, because it's the top of the hour, to take their leave. So if you're about to leave, please remember, go ahead and take the May action if you are willing. And if you have questions, you can contact me, Jeff or Lori. And for those who need to go, I'll share this closing quote. And for those who wish to stay longer with more shares or questions, I'll stick around. And I think Lori's still around for a little bit longer, too. The closing quote I have is from Dr. Martin Luther King. And he said, "Man must evolve for all human conflict a method which rejects revenge, aggression, and retaliation. The foundation of such a method is love." So for those of you leaving us now, and I suspect maybe it won't be anybody, because we'll probably just have another 5 or so minutes to hear these last couple of shares, thanks and good night. But for those of you who are staying, I want to welcome Peggy to go ahead and share whatever's on your mind. Peggy Hanna, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Dan and everybody. Just wanted to let you know that the Wittenberg University in Springfield, Ohio, is a Wittenberg Student Peace Alliance group with all new officers and lots of energy. Unfortunately, it's the end of the school year, but they're gearing up already for the fall. So I'm very excited about that. And I would like to just ask Cheryl a question about the that program she's talking about and the teaching. At the parents, are they doing this voluntarily, or is there any, you know, direction from the school or court or something? So somewhere along the line, I'd like to know about that. Thanks very much.
Great. Thanks, Peggy. You may want to send her an email because she's dropped off the call. So I'm confident you have her email, or if not, you're welcome to ask me for it.
Well, I'm sure I've got it somewhere. Thanks, though.
Yeah. Okay, how about Desdra? Go ahead, Desdra.
Oh, good. Hi, Dan.
Hi.
And, you know, I just want to thank everyone for all the good work you're all doing. It's just heartwarming. Especially with the world the way it is these days. You know, I'm in Washington. I'm in Olympia. And I just recently am getting, I'm going to start a training, a 40-hour training with the Dispute Resolution Center here. And that's just beginning in June. But in the process, I've ended up also connecting with them from a different direction and learned that they have started a program that has been in place in one elementary school with fifth graders, that they're doing an after-school kind of a restorative justice, they're calling it an after-school peacemaker club. Although the children apparently are, what they're trying to do is, you know, get them out of this school-to-prison pipeline business. And so they're children that are getting in trouble and sent to the principal and getting suspended, and you know, they recognize that that system is what sends them eventually to, you know, juvenile hall and eventually prison. So they started this program, and it's been in one elementary, and now there's another one that is seeing the good effects of it and have said they want to be involved. So I'm really excited about getting involved with the Dispute Resolution Center here in Olympia because this new program is exciting to me. I'm really, the whole idea of restorative justice, the more I learn about it, the more I appreciate it for the love direction, you know. What Martin Luther King is saying is that it's not punitive. It's about bringing people back into the fold and restoring each other as fellow human beings. So so anyway, that's one thing that's going on here. Of course, this area is just, you know, ripe with being the capital of Washington State. There's a lot going on here. That's just one little piece that's happening in my life right now.
So great. Great. Thank you, Desdra. Thanks for sharing all that. I think you probably all know this, but all these great pieces of news and information, this is the kind of thing that I would love for your legislators to be more aware of. And many of you are probably already doing that, or are sort of educating your legislators about the programs that are working and the programs on the horizon that maybe could use a little more funding. But these brass tacks, when you can talk to them about a particular project that's getting good results, that community members are involved in, that's really kind of gold. And similarly for newspaper exposure or radio exposure or TV, to share with folks stories of actual practices is really powerful. So this is really great stuff that you all are sharing. Thanks. I see another hand. I have just an initial. It says M. McGrath. M. McGrath? Hello, Mr. or Ms. McGrath? Your phone might be muted. I've unmuted you on my
Hello?
end. Oh, there you are.
Okay, yeah. I thought it was muted, and I went to unmute it, and it actually muted it. So anyway, this, I don't know why it said M, but this is actually Michelle McGrath, not Kelly McGrath, but Michelle McGrath. And I just want to say hi, Dan. I don't know if you remember me from the Florida Peace Alliance. It's actually been a couple of years since I was active. And I've actually... I'm sorry?
Did you drive up to D.C. With Anna for a conference?
Yeah, we did the conference and a lot of different things we were involved with. And I kind of, you know, took a little step away to kind of regroup and focus on some things in my own life and my own career and everything. And I've actually, this past year, I've relocated. I'm no longer in South Florida. I'm in Santa Fe, New Mexico. So, and I just feel that it's the right time to revisit Peace Alliance. It's something that I've always carried with me, but I just, you know, like I said, there was just a lot of other things that I really needed to focus. And so that being said, you know, and just like I said, it's, I feel like it's a good time to revisit, and I just really wanted to... you know, see where everything's at. First of all, it's good to know that everyone is still doing the work and it's still going strong. And, you know, as I'm getting more familiar with the community here and learning the who's who of who's in our local government and everything, there are actually a lot of programs here that I think that would be really relevant to introduce Peace Alliance, and especially things like the Restorative Justice and the Youth Promise Act here in this community. I think it would be great for this area. As far as I know, I didn't really see anything online. I really, and if I'm wrong, and if you can maybe connect me with some of the people that might be in this area, it really doesn't look like there's really much as active here as far as with Peace Alliance. So, you know, that's another reason why I thought this is probably a good time to, you know, revisit that. So anyway, I just wanted to say hi, and I haven't forgotten everyone. And, you know, it's always kind of been there on the back burner, but there's just been other things going on. So anyway, that's all.
Awesome, awesome. So great that you're back. I mean, you never left, but you're back on the line.
Right. I mean, I've always been, you know, a great supporter, but as far as, you know, staying active with things, there was other things that I needed to be active with. So, I'm really excited, and I'm glad to hear, you know, what's going on currently with the organization and all the new legislation that's being presented and getting passed, you know, so it shows that the effort is working.
It's moving. It's great.
Yeah.
We're building those connections. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we will be more than happy, of course, to support you in exploring, you know, what you want to connect with in New Mexico and as far as promoting programs and connecting with legislators. Mm-hmm. So, whenever you feel like it, whenever you're ready, send me an email, send Lori an email, and we'll talk about, you know, how we can support you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Pleasure.
And thank you everyone else that's on the call that is, you know, continuing to do the work. Great.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I think I've gotten to all the hands that were raised. I'll put them all down just to make sure. If anybody is there that I haven't recognized that still wants to talk, go ahead and press 1 again. So I'll make sure that I didn't miss anybody. All right. Well, I think that is pretty close to a wrap then. I'm going to go ahead and unmute all of your microphones. There you go. You're all unmuted. If you want to say good evening or anything else to each other before we sign off, this is your time.
Night-night.
Peace and joy from the beach. Bye.
Bye.
Good night, everyone. Thank you.
Night.
Night, all.
You are currently the only person in this conference.